Psalm 27, verses 10 through 14. Excuse me, 11 through 14. It says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." And so tonight we want to look at probably one of the more difficult things for us to do, and that is waiting for His favor. Right? We know that we're to seek His favor, right? We know that God's commanded us to seek His favor continually. We know that our desire is to be in the light and the shadow of that favor all the days of our life. We're confident that the Lord will hide us in the Holy of Holies and set us up on a rock high above our adversaries where they can't get to us. And all of that is because the Lord has said, seek the Lord. But it doesn't always come right after you pray it, right? In fact, in many cases, it may take months. It could take years, right? I was talking to my brother back here the other day, and I said, you know, part of what the Lord's been doing in my life is an answer to prayer that was probably prayed 15 to 20 years ago. But the Lord is good, isn't He? And so we have this concept of waiting for His favor. Now, while we are waiting for His favor, verse 11, what we desire to do is have the Lord teach us His way. It says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes." David's voicing to the Lord not only his commitment to follow the Lord's way, whatever that way is, the way of His favor, but David is also voicing this, that in many situations of which we are praying for, we really don't know the Lord in that way that we should. You know, sometimes when we're praying for something, nothing wrong with what we're asking for, but it's not His way. It's not the way He does things, right? And so He'll guide you in another area, and if we're not careful, we'll say, well, you know, the Lord didn't answer that. No, He did answer that, and He answered it according to His way. We actually, when we don't know the Lord's way in all of our ways, know Him and He shall direct our paths. When we don't know the Lord's way, then we end up being blind to the goodness that God's going to show us in the way because we don't know it. And a good example of that that is just helpful, you know, years ago when our middle son was very seriously injured, and I had several surgeries and long recovery, and he was having one of his surgeries, and we were all in the waiting room, and there was a lady over there. She had a little, I don't know, I think it was a teddy bear or something, and she was sitting there holding the teddy bear. And so I kind of walked over there and asked if I could have a word of prayer with her and started talking to her, and she said, oh yeah, she said, I am a believer. And so we got to talking about the Lord, and she said, you know what, I am just absolutely confident. I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is going to heal my son. Well, let me ask you this. Does the Lord always heal? Let's think biblically. Okay, He doesn't always do that, does He? Because there's a way in which He wants us to go. And when we are just looking for something, now thankfully the boy did have a successful surgery. Okay. But if the boy had not had a successful surgery, that lady might have said what? The Lord didn't answer my what? My prayer. And she would have been blind to the favor, to God's goodness that He was showing to her, if nothing else, strengthening her to be able to endure whatever the situation was, right? And so when we're blind in a lot of situations, we really don't know what to pray. Right? And so what do you do in situations like that? Well, you pray what you think, but you also pray submissively. And ask the Lord to teach you in the midst of your circumstance. David is asking to be taught in the midst of adversaries that are trying to overthrow him in violence. Lord, teach me your ways. And then you want the Lord to teach you his way, and you want to walk in that way, but you also, verse 11, want to be led on a level path. Don't you love it when things are smooth? And it's just like all the dominoes, as you take one step forward, just fall into place. Does it always happen that way? No, it does not always happen that way. But this is what David's praying for. He's praying that not only would the Lord teach him his way, but he desires that his pathway forward in the favor of God would be free of obstacles and difficulties. Why is that? It's because of the favor that he's desiring. Look at verse 11 again. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my who? Because of my foes. These were men and women. These were adversaries who were constantly watching David in order to judge him and find fault with him. And so if he's in the way and the way is full of obstacles and stumbling blocks, what would happen if he stumbled? His enemies would go what? Aha! Gotcha! And so David is praying for that level pathway. And folks, this is the way the world is. This is the way Satan is. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's always looking for something to say, aha, look at that. And so David prays, O Lord, teach me in the midst of my troubles. Teach me the way of your favor. Have me, I'm committed to this, but do it on a level path. Remove the obstacles, remove the difficulties, remove the stumbling blocks of which I might stumble over because of my foes who are constantly watching me. Now the basis of that, you look at the adversaries in verse 12, do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me. That means they're telling what about David? Telling lies about that, but lies that are probably believable by others, right? Because they're trying to overthrow him, and they are breathing out violence. And what that means is their words are what? Their words are violent. These are words of hatred. These are words of accusation, and this is the way Satan is. This is the way the world is. This is the way people who persecute are. This is the way people are when they're trying to get their way around you, right? When they're trying to step on you to get somewhere. And so David is praying for that level path. He is committed to that in the midst of his troubles. Now the basis of that confidence is verses 13 and 14. You'll see there that the words "I would have despaired" are italicized, meaning they're supplied by the translators. Now, the way the text reads, it just reads this, "And such as breathe out violence, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And so I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with how they supplied those words. David is in trouble, isn't he? And he is calling out. He's crying out to the Lord in the midst of this. And the basis of him not despairing under the sun of the vanity of this life is the persuasion of seeing and knowing the favor of the Lord. Not merely when he gets to heaven, although he would desire that, right? But in this present life, a life whose days, like Job said, are full of trouble and man's troubles are like sparks that go up out of the flame of the fire. It's just the way life is. I wish somebody had told me and taught me that when I was younger. But as I've gotten older, and more matured in the Scriptures, hopefully, I've come to see that is really the normal pathway, is trial and suffering and difficulty and troubles. And when it's not, thank the Lord that He's given you that type of peace. And so I would have despaired unless I had believed. I was fully persuaded that I would see the goodness of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, the favor of the Lord, the loving kindness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so He gives to us this great instruction. He gives it to the congregation of Israel. He's giving it to us tonight, and that is this command, verse 14, wait for the Lord. Now, what are you waiting for? You're waiting to see His goodness, His favor, right? And folks, in order to wait on the Lord, let's think about this just for a moment. It's going to take inner strength. It is the most difficult thing for us, even though we trust the Lord, even though we believe in the risen Lord. He is sovereign. Amen. We know that. We could answer it on a quiz or on a test. But when it comes to actually living it out, we are weak creatures indeed. Are we not? And so this is why He says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Because it's going to take this type of strength that is greater than the power of delay and doubt. That's what you're going to be battling. And folks, when that delay happens, you really begin to see just how weak you are, right? And when that doubt begins to come and you're beginning to wrestle against that, I am persuaded I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then something in the back of your mind says, you know what? You've been praying this for so many days or weeks or months or even years. It hasn't happened yet. God's not hearing that scriptural prayer. And you begin to entertain that a little bit. And your prayer become weaker. And you might even take it off your prayer list, right? And then months may go by, and then all of a sudden you put it back on the prayer list. Right? You keep praying for it. This is a battle, isn't it? And folks, you're going to need to prove your strength in the contest of waiting. You're going to need to prove your strength in the contest of waiting. This is exactly what David is saying. It would take strength for him. It would take his heart to take courage, to wait for the Lord, to really believe and be fully persuaded and to continually seek His face, that he would see that goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And brethren, really, I think one of the things that the Lord does in delaying the actual experience of the goodness of the Lord is He's trying to show us something about ourselves. Would that be His favor? That would be His favor too, would it not? Because folks, if every time we prayed, you got it immediately, you would end up being one proud critter. Right? Someone else would say, you know, I've been praying for something for years. Well, I don't know what's wrong with you. Every time I pray, the Lord answers my prayer the next day. Maybe there's hidden sin in your life. Right? We have all kinds of thoughts like that. And so the Lord delays it so that we will know our spiritual power before Him, the strength to endure in the waiting. And folks, as I mentioned before, inability to endure delay magnifies your own lack of endurance and your own weaknesses. It just magnifies them. And what the devil will do, when you see those weaknesses, okay, more than not, you're not going to say, be strong in the Lord. You're going to say, I am so weak. The Lord will never hear me. Right? That's not the purpose of him showing your weakness. The purpose of showing your weakness is so that you can pray to the Lord of your strength. The Lord is my strength. Amen? And so here is that. And just a couple of verses, if you're taking notes, you may want to write these down. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. We rejoice in tribulations also. Why? Because we know that tribulation produces patience, and patience produces, right? And at the end of the day, what? It produces that endurance. It strengthens us. And that is part of that favor of the Lord. I was reminded also of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 when the writer of that book exhorts the congregation and says, look, you need to remember your former days. When you took these troubles for being a believer and you took them with joy, and even when they came and took all the stuff that you have away, you rejoiced because you knew that you had in heaven a more enduring substance. But now, because you're having troubles, you want to go back to Judaism. You want to go back to the Mosaic Law. And this is what he says. You have need of endurance. So that. Now, listen to this. You have need of endurance so that. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Did God say, seek my face? If you're praying scripturally and He has taught you about His ways in it, you can be confident that having done the will of God, that what He has promised, He will do. Hallelujah for that. But what happens is our little endurance button begins to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And I'm just speaking personally as well as scripturally. I encounter this, you encounter this, right? And so here is this aspect. David can put his fears to rest in the bed of hope. A confident expectation that regardless of whatever the resulting favorable circumstances end up being, whether it's his deliverance or whether it's a better resurrection, whatever those resulting circumstances are, God's favor is worth waiting for. It's worth waiting for, isn't it? And folks, here's what I mean by this. This is not the only thing clamoring at you while you're waiting. Do you know what's clamoring you? Do you know what you're seeing with your eyes as you are waiting to behold the favor of the Lord? You are seeing with your eyes carnal alternatives. Yes or no?
Yes.
You're thinking, how can I get around this? How can I give Hagar to Abraham and help God bring in the baby? Is that a carnal alternative?
Yes.
Were they waiting? They were waiting. She was beyond childbearing years. But the promise of God was sure. And folks, that's what we do. I've done it. I've made some of the most terrific mistakes in my life. By being enamored with a solution that was not God's way. There is a beauty that appeals to our fallen nature that I call a dark beauty. Right? You look at it, there's some attractiveness to it. You think about it, Yeah, that's exactly what I need to do. Yeah, let's pray about this dark beauty. Lord, do you want me to take this carnal alternative? He said yes. I feel it. I have peace about it. And we're laughing because we've all been there, right? Folks, that's why it takes strength to wait. To wait on the Lord. And I'll just give you a little clue on how you can know. When God shows His favor, you're thankful to Him for it. When you take a carnal alternative, you are thankful to yourself for it. Everybody with me? Okay. You're talking about, oh, that was just a great idea. Woo! You don't say, blessed be the Lord who showed His favor on me. Big difference, isn't it? Okay. And folks, we can excuse carnal alternatives. And we are geniuses at it. We can even blame it on God. But I want to say again, it's worth waiting for the favor of the Lord. And folks, when He does it, it will have the marks of eternality on it. And the Lord will reward us. So let's go.